Welcome to another bonus episode of Calm History, an extra treat for my Soak Plus members. If you enjoyed archive episode number 8 about the baseball legend Jackie Robinson, then you're also going to enjoy this bonus episode about the track and field legend Jesse Owens. Here are some curious questions I'll address today. The father of Jesse Owens was a sharecropper. But what is a sharecropper? I wasn't sure. I had to go and look it up. Jesse was not the real first name of Jesse Owens. So what specific incident resulted in him being called Jesse for the rest of his life? How did racial segregation affect Jesse Owens as a college athlete? On May 25th, 1935, as a college athlete, Jesse Owens did something so amazing that it is still referred to as the greatest 45 minutes in sports history. What exactly did he do? Did Adolf Hitler snub Jesse Owens at the 1936 Olympics that were held in Berlin, Germany? The answer to this one is actually pretty complicated, but I'm going to try my best to go through it in detail so you do get a clear understanding. How well did Jesse Owens do at these 1936 Olympics? If you guess, pretty dang good, then yeah, I think you're correct. What lie did Jesse Owens tell about a German athlete? And why did he do it? How did hotels in Hitler's Germany treat Jesse Owens differently than the hotels in the United States? You might be surprised about this one. What struggles did he have when he returned home from the Olympics? Did Jesse Owens really outrun a horse and play for the Harlem Globetrotters? And I'll finish by sharing many of his inspirational achievements and some of his uplifting quotes. All right, let's climb inside my time machine of tranquility to hear all about the life and achievements of Jesse Owens. I hope this episode distracts and relaxes your overactive brain squirrels. Jesse Owens, the track and field legend. Jesse Owens was born on September 12, 1913, in Oakville, Alabama. He was the youngest of 10 siblings and lived in a small farmhouse. Jesse later recalled his early life, saying, "My folks were very poor. My mother did laundry for people, and my father was a sharecropper." Sharecropping was a system of agriculture in which a landowner allows a tenant, called the sharecropper, to use the land in return for a share of the crops that are produced on it. This was a common practice in the southern United States during the era following the American Civil War. It was considered a way for impoverished people to earn a living, but it was also a system riddled with injustice and exploitation. Despite these challenges that Jesse and his family faced, he showed a remarkable resilience that would later translate to his athletic career. For example, when he was 5 years old, he was confined to his bed with a fibrous bump on his chest. His mother, having no money for a doctor, performed an impromptu surgery with a kitchen knife. Jesse was expected to rest after this procedure, but he couldn't resist a foot race with his friends the next day. He not only raced, but as you probably would guess, he also won. In 1922, when Jesse was 9 years old, his life took a turn. His family joined the great migration of Black Americans who were moving north to escape the systemic racial oppression of the South. They settled in Cleveland, Ohio, where Jesse attended elementary school. Up until this moment, Jesse Owens wasn't called Jesse Owens. He was called James Cleveland Owens, or J.C. for short. Why? No, not because they just moved to Cleveland. That was just an accidental coincidence. He was known as James Cleveland, or J.C. for short, because that was the name that his parents gave him at birth. It was in Cleveland that his real name would be transformed into Jesse. This was the result of his southern accent causing a teacher to misinterpret his name. When asked by a teacher what his name was, he said J.C., but the teacher heard Jesse. Being the humble spirit he was, J.C. didn't correct the teacher, but rather acquiesced to his new name of Jesse. This move to Cleveland created new opportunities for Jesse. In junior high, he met a man who would forever change his life, his track coach, Charles Riley. Riley saw the raw potential in the young Owens when he saw him running. Riley started training Owens after school, but Owens didn't have a lot of time for after-school training. When school ended each day, Jesse had to go to work at a shoe repair shop to help support his family. Coach Riley, though, came up with a simple solution. He started training Owens before school started. Owens would recall Riley's kindness and dedication throughout his life. Once recalling, Coach Riley always told us we could break all the world's records. And of course, Owens went on to do just that. Owens also met his future wife around this time, Minnie Ruth Solomon. They later married in 1935. As Owens grew, so did his athletic abilities. In 1933, at the National High School Championship in Chicago, he demonstrated his sprinting and long jumping skills. Owens set new records in the 220-yard dash and the long jump, and tied the world record for the 100-yard dash. His extraordinary feats at such a young age didn't go unnoticed. They earned him national attention and a flurry of scholarship offers. This included one from Ohio State University, also known as OSU. Jesse Owens attended OSU from 1933 to 1936. It was during this time that he established himself as a world-class athlete, in spite of multiple challenges. One of these challenges was money. OSU didn't offer scholarships for track and field at that time, so Owens had to find time and ways to make money. To do this, he found part-time jobs in Columbus to pay for school. Financial challenges may have hindered Jesse, but they didn't stop him from excelling in athletics. In his first year at Ohio State University, he broke 3 world records during indoor competitions. However, it was his sophomore year that truly signaled his arrival on the global stage. On May 25th, 1935, at the Big Ten Championships in Ann Arbor, Michigan, Jesse Owens stunned the world. That was just a tasty nibble of my newest bonus episode. You can peek in the episode notes to learn more about it. If you are a Silk Plus member, then you'll find the full-length version of this bonus episode waiting for you in the bonus podcast. If you're not a Silk Plus member, then you can easily become one by using the link in the episode notes or by going to silkpodcasts.com. You are now just a small hop away from accessing this bonus episode and over 400 additional episodes, all free for a limited time. That there are a lot of episodes to feed your restless brain squirrels. Nom nom, nom nom nom.